Waddle and Sylvie.
You know, I'm going to be playing this casino. I like this place. And
live from the book.
I'm going to be spending some money.
At Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
Hey, you know, I hope I win some money. And I just need someone to keep track of what I'm spending, you know, because I'm an impulsive gambler.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
To our Football Friday, we've made it to the weekend NFC AFC championship games. Actually, the AFC game is first.
Start. This is when I start to get a little sad. Does it make any sense?
Yes. Three games left. You know,
right.
it's one great Sunday, and then you're like, oh my gosh,
this is the
college is done. Next week, I got nothing. They try to give me the Pro Bowl, which stinks.
They try to give you the Pro Bowl. No, they're giving you the Pro Bowl.
Oh, right. Well, they try. I mean. Can you
listen? When was the last time there was only two games on a Sunday in the NFL schedule?
The last time,
yeah,
last week.
Well, that's true. I mean, two games in the weekend. I guess
yes.
is what I mean.
There were two games on Sunday last week.
I mean, two games on a weekend.
Two on Saturday, two on Sunday.
Two games on a weekend.
That's why I like last week as my favorite weekend, because you got two on Saturday,
right?
You got two on Sunday.
Okay, let me rephrase it.
Yeah.
When was the last time we were only given two NFL games for a weekend? Same time last year.
Yes.
Right?
Right. And then do you remember what happened? Will there be controversy? That's a good question. I mean, there's already been controversy this postseason, hasn't there?
With
Seattle and Green Bay, there was controversy. There was controversy with New Orleans again. I mean, the officiating has, again, been under the microscope. And if I'm a betting man, and we are
which
at Horseshoe.
Are, which you are.
I would bet that, yes.
There will
that
be
on Monday, save this, Mallor, that on Monday, we will be talking about another thing that officials did that we say WTF.
That the officials did.
Yes. I'm zeroing in on these part-timers who like to call themselves NFL officials.
Right.
And then Al Riveron, who said, hello, everybody, this is Al Riveron.
Will you watch these games on Sunday with a skeptical eye? Did my wallet just fall out of my pocket? Or did you steal it from my pocket?
If there isn't a sign from the gambling gods.
Come over here and make a bet.
Then your wallet falling out of your pocket at a casino, I don't know what is.
Listen, I have a wife and four daughters.
It's
quite often my wallet it goes missing from my pants. what I was going to say, well, at any point, will you be watching these games on Sunday with a skeptical eye based on what has transpired in the world of Major League Baseball? Like, will you be looking at the left calf of any of the quarterbacks thinking that, hey, maybe the same technology could be used for a quarterback.
Here comes pressure.
When pressure's coming from the blind side,
get rid
you
of
just
it.
Give him a little zip?
That's a good question. You know, frankly, I don't care. I really don't.
Wow, there's a difference between football and baseball. Why don't you care?
I don't. I mean, I just give me delicious football.
Okay, but do you have the same feeling about baseball?
Yeah. So you don't care about that? We started the show with that. I'm not standing on my soapbox today saying vacate the 2017.
I'm not
World
either,
Series.
But I also would prefer it not to happen.
Well, of course. But we all know that athletes cheat, and they've cheated decade after decade, and coaches cheat.
I think you're more okay with football cheating. I think everyone is more okay with football cheating than baseball cheating.
I think that in general terms, yes.
So keep an eye on the left calf.
Okay.
They're all right-handed quarterbacks, right? So the blind side will be their backside. So you plant legs,
maybe
your right leg.
That's why Ryan Tannehill has been able to turn it
around.
So
think about it. I'm dropping back and I'm scanning the field. My back, right. And when I get that little jolt in my back left calf, I know that the pressure's coming. I either got to get the ball away or I got to turn and look and move. Keep an eye on that.
Okay. Waddle is telling everyone to keep their eye on that.
I'm just saying, in the skeptical world of sports that we live in now, and you're okay with it. How about halftime steroid shots? You're good with that, too?
You know,
are you okay with that?
You don't understand what I'm saying. Let me see a terrific product, and that's it.
Well, listen, don't tell me that.
Okay, what about cocaine?
Wait a second. Okay, yes, we can. Altuve taking Aroldis Chapman, deep to win the game in the ninth inning.
It was a pretty cool moment, wasn't it?
That's what I'm saying. Are you okay with it? Knowing,
no, I'm not okay with it.
That's why I'm saying there is a football bias here.
I was saying
with
I'm not going to be sitting up there like Chicken Little staring at everyone for cheating this weekend.
You will if you've got money on the game and the opposite team, the team you bet on, is beating your team. Then you will be looking for reasons to blame why you lost. Am I right about that, Abdallah? Yes. It's the gambler's crutch.
Before we get to Kyle Long here, and I thought he gave great insight about the Bears' offensive line. What is our teaser? Are we all in for this teaser?
I think there's been some controversy because, well, you like the Packers.
Yeah, but I'm okay riding with the team. I mean, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So I'd rather just be a silent investor and ride with the team.
Okay, so like when he texts us after the 49ers gag, and I'm getting barraged from Sylvie text about it.
Look,
it's
buyer beware.
Yeah,
I can't do that to you if you're in. Just like my Dallas Cowboys bet. You guys didn't really give me much stuff about having the Cowboys at 35-1 to win the Super Bowl.
God, yeah.
I mean, no, we didn't.
I had forgotten about it to the point where, of course we didn't.
We were supposed to be talking about the Cowboys and Niners right now.
I say, and we all have input, obviously, because it's all of our money, but I say we don't mess with the totals. Don't mess with the totals. Weird stuff can happen.
So you don't want 14 teasers. You just want
Two teams.
It's a teaser Sunday.
Give me 49ers. Give me the Chiefs. 49ers -1.5. Chiefs -1. Give me that.
The road dogs have won, like I heard Philly Godfather say, 56% of the time this year.
Yeah, and Philly Godfather likes a teaser Sunday. So
he called Philly Godfather was the one that was on with Cap calling it a teaser weekend. Anyway.
Right, right.
And he said he actually talked about that teaser.
All right, let's take it. Let's go.
All right.
I don't think you can bet a teaser here, Katie.
I'm going to do it on my phone.
Okay. Do they not have teasers or
horseshoes?
I know you can bet a parlay because I went up there and
bet a parlay. You get a parlay card, you fill it out, you can bet a parlay.
Okay. I want to play you this from Kyle Long, who is great.
So we all in real quick.
Yes. Okay. In. Right. Meller?
Yeah, I'm in, baby.
What are we doing? Are we doing $40 a guy?
$100 a guy.
Yeah, it's conference championship weekend. Come on.
50.
We'll 50 a guy.
Plus 50
wait. What happened to doubling every bet that we lose? I think we have to double it up so we walk away winners on the season.
I'm just going to set up my damn Chase account with the automatic payment.
Okay, fine.
At Sunday at 8 o'clock to send it to Abdallah $50.
$50.
I'm
going
to set it up.
50.
Feels a little light to me, but fine.
Okay, here's Meller, do you want to pick up like $12.50 a piece of his? He doesn't want. He only wants $25.
Yeah, I'll go less. I'm doing deep breaths over here.
No, I want more.
Stupid.
Meller, you want to pick up his 12.5?
Give me it all, Waddle. Whatever.
Last time we did this, we got kicked right in the marbles, but
right.
I'll do it.
We're getting kicked together. That's okay.
I got $62.50 in.
Sure.
Okay.
All right, so can we get to Kyle Long here?
Sure.
Kyle Long was on with Carmen and Yurko. He talked about Harry Hiestand and why did they sour on Hiestand? And you got to listen to this. Oftentimes, and he did this with Mitch, he wasn't overly critical of Mitch. And a lot of times, even though he's just retired, they still won't go in on their former teammates. We don't have that now? Abdallah, talk to me here.
I am getting the text message from Jesse Rogers. If Jeff Meller, this is bad on the air. If Jeff Meller would kindly pick up the phone for Jesse.
Yeah, Jesse's calling in with our guest, I believe.
Meller's by himself down there.
Right
Meller's
now.
Trying to do the two jobs.
Yeah, he's calling in right now on the caller line. So if you could.
We could have a guest from Cubs Con. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
All right. So we will wait
Hold
here.
Your Kyle Long thoughts.
Yeah.
And hold your Kyle Long.
As we're waiting, Kyle made a very good point. He knows the personnel's not as good.
He said that the offensive line needs to be improved with personnel.
I think that the message that I took, the conclusion I took from what Kyle had to say is that it needs to be a collaborative effort and there needs to be improvement around Mitch for Mitch to be able to go out and play well. And that if he's got better pieces around him, the plan is better, that he does expect Mitch to get back to where they need him to be. So he was not going to write Mitch off.
I thought, though, that those are his brothers, you know, the offensive linemen.
Yeah.
But he said the personnel the Bears have, it's not good enough.
That's right.
Like our pleasure, this is sort of a tradition that we've done before, where during Cubs convention and their media gathering, Theo Epstein is kind enough to pick up the phone for us. And we go live to the Cubs convention right now where we pick it up with the Cubs president. Theo, Happy New Year. How you feeling?
Happy New Year, guys. I love this tradition because it saves me 20 minutes. I would be out there with Jesse and his cohorts getting grilled. So this is perfect for me. How's it work for you guys?
Yeah, it's great for us, but I don't know if after the 20 minutes if you'll have the same thought.
Oh,
no,
stop.
No, I mean, just saying.
All right, bring it.
All right, well, what is the – I'll get right to the brass tacks then since you said that. What is the plan this offseason for you guys?
The plan this offseason is, given the, you know, the landscape that we have this at this moment in time, and every club goes into – the off season with, you know, certain parameters and certain factors that they have to either take advantage of or operate around, do everything that we can to accomplish two overriding goals. One is improve the 2020 club to put the best team possible on the field and try to win the division and make it deep into October and win a World Series. And then two, and this one has particular emphasis for us as we get, you know, closer to 2021, is operate with a long-term view as well and do everything we can to improve the long-term health of the baseball operation and to ensure that we, you know, don't have a significant drop-off when we get to the inevitable transition away from this core group of guys to the next Cubs team. So we're trying to do both those things. I think, you know, going into the winter, once you have your, you know, budgets and you see how the season ends up, and we knew we'd be more active in trades than in free agency. That was just going to be a reality for us this winter, and you see how that shakes out. We tried to strike early with some trades, and the dynamic this winter across the game has been, it's been a very kind of robust and engaged free agent market, and there have been fewer trades than normal up to this point, I think because there were good free agent alternatives, and now that the best free agents have signed, I think this week is marked a trend of teams kind of turning to trade talks. And I'm not going to say it's ideal. You know, certainly being as quiet as we've been the last couple of months, I'm sure there's an opportunity cost associated with that, some missed opportunities. But I do sense, because of the lack of trades around the industry up to this point, that it'll probably be a little bit more active between now and spring training than you typically see late in the offseason. And we still have a lot we'd like to do. I'm not sure what we will be able to do, but we'd still like to make some moves that improve the 20 team and also make some moves to ensure a better future. We've come close to some things but haven't gotten anything significant done. I still think there's time to do that.
Theo, you've been doing this a long time. How would you describe this off-season period for you individually? Would you describe it as difficult, frustrating? Is there a different adjective that you think best describes it?
Yeah, it's frustrating, you know, and that's why someone asked me earlier, you know, what do you say to the fans who are really frustrated? And I said, I totally understand. You have every right to be. And we often leave the office frustrated. You know, when you have a player who you think is a really good fit and you might be able to sign to a reasonable deal that, you know, will provide some value and he makes your team better in a lot of ways and you want to do it, but it just doesn't fit this winter, that's frustrating. You know, you leave feeling, you know, like you didn't accomplish something that you really shouldn't have accomplished. And so, yeah, it's frustrating, but I also, you know, I've also been around long enough to be realistic that, you know, there are going to be winners when, you know, you've cleaned your books and you've got a couple young players who are really good that are blocked by established players. You know, you're going to probably make a trade at that position one way or the other and bring someone in, and there are a couple free agents who really fit that you can afford, and you just know, you're not sure how it's going to shake out, but you know you're going to accomplish several big things. You kind of just can't wait to go out and try to optimize that and do the absolute best you can. But one way or another, you're going to make the, you know, next season that much better. And that's, you know, that's really exciting. But you also don't have those every winter. You know, look, there's not a team out there doing that every single winter. And we've kind of known for a while that as we got to the back end of the CBA and the second to last off season of this collective bargaining agreement, that it was going to be tough on us and other big market teams that have won and so have good players on their roster that they've won consistently with. If you look at, you know, we won the World Series in 16, the Astros in 17, the Red Sox in 18. Those are larger market teams that had good players that are, got more expensive through the arbitration process, added free agents on top of that to try to win. And, you know, collectively, like the three of us, we've been pretty quiet this winter. There hasn't been much. And it's not an excuse, but it's just part of that landscape I talked about is, you know, towards the end of the CBA, we knew it was going to be a lot tougher than earlier in the CBA for us to squeeze more talent onto the roster, just given the nature of the system and the way this collective bargaining agreement works. So, yeah, it's frustrating, but I also feel like you never know when it's going to be that day that you make a small trade, you show up, an opportunity opens itself, a GM calls, an agent calls, and you make a move, even a small one, that might make the difference for you and for your ball club, you know, raising the floor in certain areas or even finding an impact guy that can make all the difference in the world. So we're still I know people are, like, looking sideways at us that we're saying we're excited about this team, but we really are. There's a lot of untapped talent. We underachieved last year, let's be honest about it. We were a 90-win team on paper. If you look at our underlying performance, we won 84 games. We had a lot of things go wrong. We weren't healthy. You know, David Ross brings a ton to the table that we're excited about, as much as we'll miss Joe. Sometimes that kind of change and a new voice can have an amplifying effect in certain areas. And you know, when you also don't bring in a lot from the outside, there can be a silver lining sometimes in the opportunity it creates. If, you know, if this is the year, because we've been a little, or a lot less active, if this is the year that Ian Happ goes out there and gets his, you know, 550, 600 at-bats and is able to consolidate the gains that he's made, and guy's got over an 800 OPS for his career as a big leaguer, learned a lot last year, and is a totally different guy now. If he gets that opportunity to go play, because we didn't bring in someone to block him, and that turns out to be, you know, a silver lining, then fantastic. So I get the frustration, but I still think there's a lot that we are excited about. Now we have to prove it.
Theo, maybe another item filed under the category of frustration. Why has the Bryant arbitration ruling taken so long?
You know, that one's just completely beyond our control, so we can't, there's nothing we can do about it, and right. So we're just not going to get, you know, overly frustrated by it. We respect the process. It's, you know, we respect Chris's rights. It's not our grievance. It's his. It's obviously important to him. That's why he brought the grievance. So because of that, I'm going to respect his rights and his decision to bring it forward. I'm going to respect the process, respect the arbitrator. And there's a broader industry issue at stake, too, between Major League Baseball and the Players Association. And they have to get this right. The arbitrator has to get this right. There's a lot of materials involved, a lot of arguments involved in the presentation. And we'd rather that the arbitrator take his time and get it right than rush to a judgment just to appease, you know, our offseason like this or something like that. So just going to sit back and respect it, and we can handle any timing, and we can handle the consequences, and we'll accept whatever judgment there is and move forward.
Theo Epstein, Cubs president, joining us, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. Yesterday at his charity event, Theo, Anthony Rizzo said the business end of baseball is as cutthroat as ever. Quote, We're talking about trading the MVP of the league a couple of years ago. You know you're going to be asked this by fans all weekend at the Cubs convention. What is Chris Bryant's future with your team?
Yeah, just to answer, first of all, on Anthony's quote, I loved every word he said. I thought it was accurate and from the heart. If you look at the whole quote, he said, yeah, the business is as cutthroat as it's ever been. You know, he alluded to, you know, there are trade rumors about, you know, a guy who won the MVP a couple of years ago. He mentioned that a lot of our own players turned down contract extensions a couple of years ago, and that, in his opinion, it looks like it was the right move because with some of the contracts young guys are signing now when they get to free agency, they might end up making more money for having turned down our overtures. And then he was asked if any of this affects the relationships involved with, you know, with me and Jed and with the organization. And he said, no, of course not. He goes, we've built up a lot of trust and respect over the years, and those relationships are good. Just both sides have to be realistic about the business of the game. He's 100% right. And that's what happens in the course of the off season. There are trade-offs every step of the way, and there are going to be times that the club has to aggressively assert its position and look out for its interests, whether it's, you know, taking someone to arbitration if we think the number's not right. It's not something we do often at all, but we've done it. Or whether it's drawing a line in the sand on a long-term deal, or deciding not to offer someone a long-term deal at a moment in time, or trading somebody and bringing in, you know, other types of talent outside the organization. Just so there are times a player has to assert his rights and do what's best for him, whether it's taking the club to arbitration, if that's what makes sense for him, or turning down a long-term contract extension because he thinks he can get more in free agency, or filing a grievance, you know, to assert his rights in a certain area. And I respect that. I think that's exactly what the player should do if it's important to him. I wouldn't ever tell a player what to do or not do with his career and his family's future. And these guys show up to the ballpark every day not knowing if they're going to be traded later that day, and they have to pick up their family and move. So long-term issues like whether they want to get to free agency, whether they want to sign a contract extension, et cetera, those are important things that we respect and we want them to fight through. But when you do assert your rights, it comes with some uncertainty. So, like, if you turn down a long-term deal and you're a really good player and you start to get within a shouting distance of free agency, your name's probably going to come up in trade rumors. And these guys are used to that. When you're a top prospect, your name comes up in trade rumors. When you haven't quite established yourself yet as an everyday player, but you're talented, your name's going to come up in trade rumors. And when you're a really good player with aggressive representation and you haven't signed a long-term extension and you're getting closer to free agency, your name's going to come up in trade rumors, and that's unless you've signed. So those are some of the trade-offs involved for the player and for the club, and we're all mature enough to handle it. And when you come together in spring training, hopefully you're still all together, and you know, you can, as Anthony said, those great relationships continue, and you're on the same side trying to go out and win as many of those 162 ball games as you can. So I hope Chris Bryant's here. I think it's probably more likely than not that he is. He's you know, one of the best players in the game. He's an important player to us. All we've said this winter is that this is a winter we're going to be open to listening on anybody, because we have a transition coming up, and we can, you know, in certain areas we're going to have to be proactive and make sure that we, you know, improve the long-term health of the organization, and we don't want to fall off a cliff and go into a long five-year downswing like some clubs have had after long periods of success. We've never said we're out to trade Chris Bryant or it's likely we trade Chris Bryant or anything like that. So, you know, every day that we get closer to spring training, you know, it makes it more likely that any individual player is going to be here. And I do know when we get to spring training, we're all going to come together and there are going to be no hurt feelings, and we're going to move forward together as we always do, as Anthony said in his quote.
Theo, so it's far more likely that he's still going to be on the team, as you just said, in spring training. Is there still a chance that the two sides can come up with an agreement on an extension like you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance. So just like trades are hard, signing long-term deals are difficult too. You know, a lot goes into it. And as I said earlier, I respect the player's right to sign if he likes the offer or not to sign and sort of bank on free agency. So nothing's ruled in, ruled out. You can look at, you know, a player's representation as sort of an indicator or a trend, but that's not proof dispositive of anything. You can look at failed attempts to sign a player in the past, and that might be an indicator, but it's not proof dispositive of anything. So you're always one phone call away from getting a deal done, even one that might seem unexpected at the time.
And while there's been rumors about Chris, there's also been good rumors about Javi on the other side. Is anything close with you and Javi or any other Cub on an extension?
Nothing's close. There's nothing specific to report. I'll say that, you know, in general, just grouping all our players together, you know, some guys we've had no conversation with because it just either hasn't been the right time for the player or hasn't been the right time for the club. Other players we've talked to, and it's clear nothing's going to get done, and we've moved on this winter. And then other players we've talked to, and you know, there's still some level of engagement, some hope, and some understanding of respective positions and some deliberation. So that's just a general answer to say, like, of course, there's always a chance, but that we're not close with any one player at this time.
Theo, what are you willing to share with or able to share with us with regard to your feelings on the story that has rocked your sport over the last couple of days with the Astros and the Red Sox and the overall integrity of the game that may be challenged in certain ways?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this issue is obviously an important one and does touch on the integrity of the game, and so I'm just glad that there's real intervention by MLB and there's been real discipline, and it hasn't been easy to get to that point because, you know, through the history of the game, there's been rumors, sometimes it, sometimes not, but rumors surrounding, you know, teams that and individuals that push the envelope and get to the point of breaking rules and creating an unfair playing field. It's really hard to prove it. And if you can't prove it, it's really hard to discipline and it's really hard to affect change and it's hard to create that level playing field. So a few years ago, Major League Baseball decided that, you know, there was sort of enough rumor out there and there were enough things going on in various aspects of the game, on and off the field, where they needed to create a very powerful and effective Department of Investigations. It wasn't easy to do. I'm sure it wasn't fun to do, but they built out that department, and now they have a really powerful investigative branch. And without that, they never would have been able to get to the bottom of what was going on in 2017, and they wouldn't be able to conduct the investigations they're currently conducting. So I applaud them for that, and I encourage them to continue. And it's good to know that when there is suspicion, these issues can be investigated. I think that'll create a real deterrent, and I think it'll create justice, and it'll allow the commissioner to get to a point where he can be confident in creating a level playing field going forward. So I think, you know, we know, as Anthony said the other day, we can only speak to what goes on in our clubhouse, and we're 100% certain that we're not guilty of any of those types of infractions. So obviously we encourage the commissioner to continue investigating and to do everything he can to create the level playing field that the game deserves, and we applaud the effort so far.
Yeah. And before we let you go, what you just said there, to continue to investigate, do you believe there are other teams who have cheated?
I'm not going to say, but I'll just say, you know, clearly there have been, you know, the rumors have been more than just one or two clubs. You know, I think you guys know there have been a handful of clubs and that there have been rumors about. It's not my job to say who should be investigated or who shouldn't, but it just feels good knowing that Major League Baseball has the capacity to do that type of investigation, and now that, you know, they also have the willingness to do so. So that's from our vantage point, that's a good thing.
Theo, we love that you pick up the phone for us. Thanks for doing it. Happy New Year and all the best coming up in 2020.
Thanks, Theo.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and we'll see you in spring training.
There you go. Yeah. Theo Epstein is always like, say what you want about, and that's what always amazes me, is you don't like their plan. You don't like the situation they've got into in free agency. You don't like that Chris Bryant could get traded. There's lots of rumors going on. He's not scared
to
pick up the phone and to say, hey, why is Chris Bryant getting traded? Are you signing anybody? What's going on? He'll answer. And that's not the case with everyone in this city.
I actually think our conversation with him at the same time last year, and a lot of it focused on Addison Russell,
yes,
I believe, was one of the best conversations we had in calendar 2019.
So thanks to Jesse Peter Chase.
Way to go, Jess.
And Theo Epstein for joining us. All right, we're live at the book. At Horseshoe Casino. Doug Kazarian is coming up. Theo just mentioned the playoffs. Let's get into some playoff talk and let's get some plays for the weekend. It's coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie, live from the book at Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
Wow. Wow. A lot of action. Lot of action.
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Boys, we've got waitress service. We've got everything you could ever want, Doug, in a sports book. Waddle wants to go up and make a play. If you can make any play for this weekend, which play should Waddle make?
How about Michigan State tonight? Let's get warmed up with some hoops on a Friday night. I like Barty a lot tonight, but I imagine you're talking about the football. To me, it's a very public play, but I like the teaser of both favorites, bringing them down to 1.5 and 1, and just trying to get them to essentially win the game.
I'm with you. I look at both of these games, and I think that there's a decisive winner, but I would look for a little protection using the teaser to help out. But if you had to bet one just straight up, which of these two favorites you think is more likely to cover the number?
I would say the Niners, which kind of sounds funny because it's Aaron Rodgers and everything, but just I can't get that Week 12 meeting out of my mind. And it was complete domination. Now, this Niners defense has been so banged up the last handful of games, you really have to assess it. The last handful of regular season games, you really have to assess this defense the first half of the year, and that was just so dominant that I think it could be a beatdown. Now, my concern for laying the points is I don't think Kyle Shanahan truly, truly trusts Jimmy Garoppolo. He threw that interception at the end of the first half. Second half, there was a stretch of two drives where it was 12 straight runs. And I just think, and that was in a one-score game that started. So I just think, like, that's their Achilles heel, if you will, potential Achilles heel, because he has potential to obviously be great. But I would say that there could be a backdoor cover in there. But if I had to pick the other, because I really respect Tennessee, guys. Let me ask you this. Would you view Tennessee differently if they were an 11-5 team instead of a 9-7 team during the regular season?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah, if they won more,
okay.
Sure.
Well, will they change quarterbacks after a 2-4 start? Ryan Tannehill replaces Marcus Mariota, and they win 7 of 10 games. That's a win percentage of 700 over a 16-game schedule. That's 11.3. So let's just say they're an 11-win team that won at Foxborough, won at Baltimore, beat the 1-seed Ravens, and I mean, that's a lot of points to give an 11-win team, right?
It is. It is. It's kind of hard to go away from what you saw Kansas City do on offense, though. I know these two teams met back in Week 10. It was 35-32, and the Titans won that game. But I think these teams are entirely different. How do you feel about the total in this game?
I would lean under for both games. I start with the Tennessee Titans. We know what they want to do. They want to control the line of scrimmage. They want to run Derrick Henry. But they want to use their pass to set up the run. They kind of throw first and run later. The Chiefs obviously have explosive offense, but their defense has gotten a lot better. I think they're adopting Steve Spagnuolo's concepts a lot more effectively the latter half of the season. And I think the Titans, give them a lot of credit. They're covering up receivers really well last week. We want to focus so much on the fourth and shorts that Lamar Jackson was unable to convert. But I really think they did a great job of just blanketing the receivers. They got away with some contact, but that's okay. Now, Kansas City's weapons are a lot different to cover. It's a whole other ballgame. But I would lean under 53 and under in the San Francisco game just for the reasons I said earlier. I don't think Rodgers can do much on offense against that defense, and I think they're going to bleed clock and run the ball if they have a lead in the second half.
Our buddy Doug Kazarian from ESPN joining us. I want to ask you, did you get in on any live wagering on the Kansas City game when they were down to Houston?
Oh, I sure wish I did, right? They were about 3 or 4 to 1 underdogs when it was 24-0. Now, it was early in the first half, but, I mean, just obscene. I don't even want to know what they were on the live money line for the first half. I can't rip it off that comeback. But, you know, you just got to pick your spots. That is the beauty of live wagering, is you're not pot committed to that game line when it kicks off. You can kind of wait, pass, and wait for the game to start and then dive in.
Are there any props that you like more than others in either of these games?
Yeah, I do. I like Garoppolo's passing yards unders. We just touched on it. 247.5, you can get under that at -110. I think that's the play because of the reasons we just discussed. Now, look, is there a chance Garoppolo goes over? Of course. There's a chance of everything. There's also a chance last week that Houston was up 24-0. But I just think given all the potential outcomes and scenarios and permutations, I just like that under. Shanahan is going down with his best weapon, and that's Kittle here and there, but it's also running the ball, turning it over to his defense, and I know Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he certainly showed flashes of vintage Rodgers last weekend. With that being said, I think that's the prop that stands out the most. Now, in the other game, the Derrick Henry rushing prop is going up. It was like 102.5 early in the week, 113.5 now, or 115.5. I still think that's an over. I think he's just going to get the volume. Now, it is the fourth straight road game for this team, but Derrick Henry's a beast, and this Kansas City defense is nice, but it's not like doubt. So I would say those are my two plays.
When these two games come to a conclusion Sunday night, is there anything that you're projecting that you kind of are salivating at the opportunity to bet that, or are you just totally in a wait-and-see mode?
It's got to be a wait-and-see mode, but I will encourage people who want to grab an early line. The second game, which is the NFC game, that will influence the point spread more than the first game because of recency bias. So last year, we might remember, the Patriots-Chiefs was the second game They won in overtime. They got favored. They got bet right away, and because of the perception of the Rams and all that wasn't very good because they had the fluke penalty. So much depends on what happens in this game this weekend, each game this weekend, but also injuries. Sometimes there's a key injury and stuff. So I'm not going to be ready to pounce that much unless I really see an advantage. But you're looking at potential one-point spread between San Francisco and Kansas City. It's going to be about a one-point spread. The Super Bowl has never had a pick 'em in the history of the big game, so that could be interesting. We could be looking at a pick 'em. You never know.
Wow.
Doug, one thing I want to tell our listeners, too, is congratulations on your success. Individually, the host of the year on a betting show, your show, the show of the year for a gambling show. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Well done.
Thank you. It's always nice to be recognized. Obviously, in year one, that the Fantasy Sports Gaming Awards, I believe, is the acronym of what it stands for. But it's cool. Look, when you launch something like this, you're going to be a lot of it's going to be a work in progress. We've changed some things. Obviously, we don't look the same as we do today as we did day one of the show. But it's an awesome staff. I know I get to host it. But there are so many people behind the scenes that you don't see every day. And when you work at ESPN, right, there's no shortcuts. You have all the bells and whistles, and it's a lot of fun. And we're just getting going. We're doing really cool stuff. I mean, today we're explaining the differences of a money line parlay versus a 6-point teaser and all that stuff. So every day is fun. And, you know, we get to talk, as Kenny Mayne said on air our first, like, month of the show, he looked at me at the end of the show and he goes, "You just talked about gambling for an hour. Do the bosses know that?"
So great.
That's
awesome. Awesome. Well, congratulations. And again, you're handing out money for our listeners before the football get in on Michigan State basketball tonight.
Well, that's a hard sell. You never know. But, yeah, I like Sparty a lot.
Thanks, Doug.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Always love our conversations with Doug. Doug says Sparty tonight if you want a little taste of some college basketball. How about an injury report for the NFC title game, which to me is the heavyweight battle. No offense to the Titans or the Chiefs, but I'm an NFC guy. Packers are visiting the 49ers, and it looks like, my eyes aren't very good, Abdallah, but it looks like it's a pretty healthy group on both sides of the football. I know that George Kittle was a no-show at practice, I think, on Wednesday with an ankle injury. He's been full participation in each of the last 2 days. And if you look at what the Packers are dealing with right now, a very healthy team as well. So, I mean, both teams at full strength, which is obviously good news. And the injury report brought to you by Rush Medical Center. Rush offers more than 30 healthcare locations, making it easy to choose excellence. Learn more at ChooseRush.org. That's ChooseRush.org. When we come back, we're going to tell you what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie, live from the Book at Horseshoe Casino in Hammond, Indiana.
Look, guys, I'm having a bad run. So what? All right, just give me 5,000 more.
5,000 more?
On ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Sounds like Meller in the back of the shop wants to put 5,000 more down on this Sunday's championship.
Maybe
game. 50 more. Abdallah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Hey, join Northwestern basketball at Welsh Ryan Arena this winter. Opponents include Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, and Michigan. Single game tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Before we give you our final thoughts on both the AFC and NFC title game, let's tell you what to watch for.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
And What to Watch For is brought to you by Swift and Sons American Steakhouse in the West Loop's Fulton Market District, your basketball and hockey pre- and post-game destination. Hang out there before the game, come back after the game, drinks, steaks, fun, whatever it is that you want. Abdallah, because I'm feeling generous, so we'll give you the first bite at this apple.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to start with an oldie but a goodie. I don't know how long we've been waiting for it, but friend of the show, Jeff Garland, and Curb Your Enthusiasm
is back
on Sunday on HBO. I believe they run The Outsider first at 8 o'clock, and then there's a new show that's coming out that's supposed to be funny. I don't know who's in it. Art's nodding like he knows what I'm talking about.
Art,
it's some funny space show, I think. I don't know. Art, can you talk? Are you allowed to talk? I don't think Art's not allowed to talk on the air. He doesn't want to talk. And then after that, at 9:30.
Art's not real. Art's a robot.
At 9:30 is Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So what season is this? Is this the final season? Or Jeff Garland, when he joined us, I don't think he was willing to tell us.
I don't think they ever tell you that it's the 10th season.
Yeah, because they did the final season, and then they decided, six years later, they wanted to do more.
They reserved the right to do this again if they are so inclined.
There's going
to
be John Hamm is in this one, is in this season. There's a lot of good people in this season.
John Hamm, Meller told me recently I got to watch Mad Men.
It's a slow burn.
Dude, right?
That's okay.
I'm not. But here's the thing. It picks up. I have been watching it again, and I think I'm on season 6 already, over a two-week period.
It might make you want to start smoking again.
That's one. I quit that a while ago.
I said again.
I don't know how you guys watch the same series for a second or third
time. Can I tell you why? Because if you wait 5 or 6 years...
You forgot?
You have no idea.
Not at your age.
You barely remember what's happening.
Not at your age.
By the way,
Art, what was Art's?
He said the show's called Avenue 5, and it's got Hugh Laurie in it. It's supposed to be very funny.
All right, Meller, what are you watching for?
Well, obviously, we're all going to be watching Championship Weekend, right? There's no need to touch on that.
That's low-hanging fruit.
That's too easy. So, obviously, Sunday morning, I will be watching Liverpool Man U, Waddle.
Take the over. Take the over.
10:30.
Have you already made that play?
I love the over.
NBCSN. Man, Liverpool has already set the record for the best start in any of the top 5 European leagues with a 20-win, 1-draw record over the first 21. They're just a machine right now. Abdallah can tell you all about it. They're invincible.
I prefer not.
Watch them set another record on Sunday morning at 10:30. And also,
are very tight. You can notice they're wearing little buzzers.
I'm going to give you a lukewarm... Just on the Aaron Hernandez Netflix.
It's stealing mine. But that's okay. Go ahead. Go ahead. Have you seen it?
I watched it. I finished it yesterday.
I did too.
And Waddle, you know what? Perfect opportunity to ask you. What did you think? Because as someone who knew the story so well, I found myself drifting and doing other things.
I'm so with you on that. Yes, you're right, Abdallah. It's called What to Watch For. Meller and I are both suggesting that you spend the time and watch the 3 separate episodes of the Aaron Hernandez story on Netflix. I'm with you, though, Jeff. Maybe it's just because it's a story that we followed as closely as we did, and we heard things and we watched things and we were aware of it. But I came away after 3 hours of watching it glad that I invested the time. But kind of all it did was confirm what I already knew.
Am I right? No, absolutely. I was surprised how little I was invested because, like you said, I just think we knew this. Maybe if you're a sports fan, you know the story too well, and there's not a whole lot of surprises in it.
I'm telling you, though, I do believe it's still worth your time. It's 3 one-hour episodes. I mean, the way you binge watch stuff now, that's nothing. I will say as well, I don't know which one of you first brought this to the table whenever it was. But The Outsider,
I did last week.
I think that show through 2 episodes for me, is it 2 or 3?
2. 2 so far.
2 episodes to me.
Yeah.
It's been better than True Detective of the last couple of years.
I don't want to be the guy that's like, "Oh, have you guys seen The Usual Suspects? It's a great movie." But I am I just started Succession. Man, is that a good show.
Yeah. Yes.
That is welcome to the party, buddy. Yeah.
No, I know you told me, and I was like, I'll get to it eventually.
Meller, wait till he sees the episode of the underground party.
I am so mad at myself for waiting
the
so
Bachelor
long.
Party like episode,
five
yes.
Or six I'm only like 5 episodes into the first season, so just,
good.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good.
I'll power through a lot of it tomorrow.
And the way I described season 2 this year, they slow played it, which I thought was great.
Oh, such a good show.
We just made a wager, I think, didn't we, collectively? So,
Did we bet enough?
It's Championship Sunday. Obviously, kind of some final thoughts on what you expect to see from Kansas City and the the Chiefs and the Tennessee Titans.
Championship.
Then the Green Bay Packers visiting the 49ers.
I mean, the way we bet, I expect to see domination, hopefully.
I don't care about domination. I just want to win.
Yeah. I think the 49ers are built to beat the Packers. Like, I don't think the first time they met this season
was a fluke or an anomaly.
I think that they're going to get to Aaron Rodgers, like you've said before. And I think the other game, it might be
closer,
but I think that eventually, Derrick Henry's has to wear out, right? He can't keep this up.
Here's the deal. As long as the Chiefs don't self-destruct, I don't think the Titans can stay with them. Now, if we have an issue where what happened with the Texans last weekend happens again, it could be problematic because the Titans can actually run some clock on us here.
Yeah,
and I say us because we're heavily invested
in
the Chiefs.
I mean, are you willing to share what we invested?
We invested.
I mean, it's not that big. It's not like we're dropping... We're not dropping dimes.
Two team teaser, and then it wasn't enough for Meller
because he wanted more.
So we invested.
I think he's got a touch of a problem.
We invested in a two team parlay as well.
You call it a problem? I call it living.
You know why Meller's right, and I appreciate this. There's only three of these left this season. You get these two, and then we got to wait 2 weeks for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
and so then that's just a gambler's Christmas.
So I'm predicting both the Chiefs and the 49ers will win. Sort of convincingly,
so
and
the Super
my
Bowl
wagers
will be Titans and Packers.
Yes, so my no, stop
please
that.
No,
stop that. I think the Super Bowl meeting that I know I want is the Chiefs and the 49ers, not just because I want to win money, but I think that'll be the best match.
As long as it's not the Texans, or, I'm sorry, the Titans.
The Titans. I'm with Miller. I mean, obviously, financially invested in the 49ers, but if it is, or in the Chiefs, or and the 49ers, but if it is Packers. I'd be okay with it. I just know no one cares about the Titans.
No Ryan Tannehill in our Super Bowl, please.
I don't want to hear about Mike Vrabel for 2 weeks.
All right, we got to wrap this thing up. Thank you to Lewis Riddick for joining us. Good to talk to our friend Lewis. Cubs president Theo Epstein joining us from the Cubs convention. That's a yearly exercise. And Doug Kazarian giving us the plays for the weekend. Thank you to everyone here at the book as well. The Horseshoe, Hammond, it's been a fantastic run. The food is great. The people here are fantastic. The area is big. The fans, thank you all for showing up. It's been a great time, and I'm sure we'll be back soon. Thank you to Adam Abdallah, Jeff Meller as well. The Odds Couple is up next. Everyone, have yourself a great weekend.
Instant classic!
That was fun stuff. That's fun stuff.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No high from you.
What?
No high from you.
I'd give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Penny waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.